independence.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to America Tonight. Coast to coast and all the nooks and crannies in between, left, right, or somewhere in the middle. It doesn't matter. Have an opinion and share it with us on the air. The best water cooler buzz around. A lot of you third shifters, you know, they say there's 27 million plus and counting. And we're not even throwing in the insomniacs or the people who are working overtime. What a show we have for you. Jam-packed. Truly, it describes this one. We're going to remember 9/11 plus a couple of great guests. Sina Wong is coming up. She's a forensic handwriting expert who worked on the JonBenet Ramsey case, to name a few. And she's had some interesting clients. Also, Bob Hamer, former undercover FBI agent on scrambling during 9/11 and fighting terrorism and some of the things that are happening even today. How about nail the score? The first game was played in the regular season of the NFL. Sorry for you Vikings fans excited about Brett Favre being back with the team, but it didn't work. It seemed like there was no timing. Not that the Saints were that much better, but they knocked off the Vikings, a final score of 14-9. So our computer will randomly pick the game of the week. Not that one, obviously, because we know the results. But those coming up on Sunday and Monday might be the games that could be chosen. It's just one game, actually. The computer picks the game of the week, and then you call the show. This is in the third hour during the three segments, not the first segment, but the other three segments. And if you correctly guess the score of the game and who wins the game, you have nailed the score. That means you clean out the America Tonight prize closet. Oh, the bragging rights. No one's been able to do that. Plus, we know a lot of you are going to escape from the politics of it all and want to vent your spleen over the weekend. So we have our cheap movie review. You might like to escape by going to the movies. And there's a couple of interesting movies that are coming out this week. One of them kind of a chick flick, and then one of them kind of a biopic about Joaquin Phoenix. So we have our cheap little review that's coming up in our final hour. But before we get to all of that, how about what's been lost in the sauce? Because there's so much focus on the possible mosque and Islamic Center in New York and the burning of the Quran that's supposed to take place, Qurans, I should say plural, on Saturday in Gainesville, Florida, with Pastor Jones's church. Somehow we talked for how long on this show, and how many other shows were captivated by what was happening in the Gulf with the worst oil spill in our history since April 20th, and how many people realize that the final sealing of the stricken well in the Gulf of Mexico has been delayed again. Yep, the earliest that the week-long operation can begin is next week, maybe on Tuesday. You know, Thad Allen has been the eyes and the ears, so to speak, the retired Coast Guard admiral who's been all over this thing from the government. And he's saying the experts want more time because they need to analyze the well and fish out a broken pipe. Oh, yeah, there's that broken pipe we got to fish out. And then possibly apply another cement seal on the top because they want more insurance against unlikely troubles. Well, I can't blame him for that. I'm sure somewhere in some boardroom there was some salty language going on, though. I mean, BP wants this in their rear view mirror. They don't want to be dealing with this. So the upshot of it is this internal investigation that was released by British Petroleum concluded pretty much that a series of mechanical and human errors by its own crews and contractors led to that explosion on the deep Water Horizon rig, which killed 11 men and set in motion what was to become our national nightmare. And for the people in the Gulf Coast who had to deal with it, and their livelihoods just went kaput overnight. And they talked about eight problems, including an incorrectly read pressure test. Oh, is that the worst? with someone trying to get to lunch. What was that about? A blowout preventer that didn't function properly. We all know that. That's probably the one thing everybody took away from the accident. A faulty cement seal, the job that wasn't done correctly, right? And the failure of the crew to figure out that the gas was surging up the well just before the explosion. So it was like a comedy of errors, and unfortunately. So the bottom line is, I think BP is probably happy to pass along some of the blame as long as they can get the smallest piece and put it in their rearview mirror and move on. So because of BP, there's that moratorium on deep water drilling. And the government is saying it needs to and is going to step up scrutiny of all oil and gas platforms, no matter where they are. More inspectors, stiffer penalties, all that kind of stuff. And these are recommendations finally delivered by a limp, I think the Interior Department fell down on this, by a limp panel there that was assigned to evaluate what we're doing on offshore energy development after this terrible disaster. So Ken Salazar, the guy who leads the group, he's the Interior Secretary after all, right? He said that the recommendations, some of that I just mentioned to you, provide pretty much the blueprint for the overhaul of minerals management services, because this was the group that were partying with all the people on the platforms and probably were doing their inspections with kind of one eye open, I guess. And the biggest challenge, according to this report that was like a slender little read, 39 pages that you might take on the beach with you, right, is making sure the new bureau, new mineral management, is set up to inspect and monitor 3,000 wells and others in the Gulf. Looks like they're going to do some more hiring in the government, if you know anything about inspecting, or if you had anything to do with the oil industry, this might work for you. This is another big story that got lost because of everything else that's shoving it off the pages and the minds, I think, of many of us. From L.A., 5 former men who say they were kidnapped and tortured by the CIA can't sue the Boeing subsidiary for that helped them get them away from the interrogations because of the risk of secret intelligence being exposed at a trial. Wow, how about that? So this is a win for the Obama folks because it recognized the president's power to protect wartime actions, if you want to look at it that way, from judicial scrutiny by invoking the secret state's doctrine. Oh yeah, there's that. The secrets, we can't do that. So the civil rights lawyer who represented the supposed victims of the Bush administration's rendition program said the ruling, if it's allowed to stand up, means that the United States has closed the courtroom doors to torture victims. Ooh, that's a slam. That's a quote for the evening news. Anyway, it was a majority decision the other day. 6-5 was the ruling, and they even threw the word in that they reluctantly concluded that national security interests in the case were paramount, this is their words, to even the most compelling necessity to protect fundamental principles of liberty and justice. On that note, coming up next, Sienna Wong, and a whole lot more during this hour of America Tonight. Definitely hang through.
Men, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Ryzen. Mojo Ryzen is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Ryzen is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Ryzen works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Ryzen will not give you unwanted unintended side effects. Mojo Ryzen will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just 3 capsules of Mojo Ryzen, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Ryzen at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll-free 1-877-330-1120. That's 877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Ryzen all night long.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you are hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
With no end in sight for the global financial crisis, it's become very evident there is a global food shortage upon us. What if your local grocery store was suddenly closed? What if? The time to prepare yourself and your family for what if is now. This is your last chance to stock up and save with the last Mountain House sale of the year. For 1 week only, September 6th through 13th, Ready Made Resources offers GCN listeners 25% off all Mountain House case lots, plus free shipping. Go to readymaderesources.com before it's too late. See the variety of quality Mountain House foods in a wide selection for every taste. Mountain House foods have a 25-year shelf life and are easy to prepare. Just add water for great tasting snacks or meals. Remember, this 25% off case lots is only through September 13th. Call 800-627-3809 and mention GCN to get 25% off per case of Mountain House foods with free shipping. That's 1-800-627-3809 or go to readymaderesources.com. Sale ends September 13th.
Listen to John Hancock, well, a lot. Just ask our next guest, who is a handwriting expert. Sina Wong is court certified, board certified, you name it, she's got it. She's board certified document examiner and forensic handwriting expert. She's got 20 years of experience in the field of question documents. She analyzes handwriting and documents for signs of fraud. Some of her big clients include Fortune 500 companies, lots of law firms, John Grisham, you know that name, famous author. She was also involved in the examining of the ransom note in the JonBenet Ramsey civil matter. We talked about that a lot on ATN. You've seen her all over the tube. She's been on O'Reilly show and my pal Greta Van Susteren's show. Also, the USA Today has featured quotes on her and whatnot. Good Morning America, you name it, and she's been there. So we are very pleased to welcome her to ATN. Sina, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
JonBenet Ramsey, huge case. There probably isn't anyone in America who doesn't know something about that case. What was that like dealing with that ransom note?
It was absolutely fascinating. As a document examiner, I'm unbiased, and I just compare the writings with what evidence I have to come to my conclusion. And my conclusions was quite surprising to me.
Really? It was surprising? When you say it was surprising, what was your conclusion surprising to you?
Well, I found over 254 similarities linking the mother's handwriting to the ransom note. And I've been in court and testified on a signature with just 8 similarities. And the judge said, yep, that person did sign that signature, like you said. And so there was an overwhelming number of similarities between Patsy Ramsey's handwriting and the ransom note writer.
Wow, that's interesting. And boy, you know, that was always the accusation, certainly, too, in that case. How did you get interested in becoming a forensic handwriting expert in the first place?
That started way back when I was 14 years old, and I was very excited that I was about to go to this boarding school in San Jose, California. I originally went there with my parents for an orientation, and I loved the people and the students at the school. And it was a wonderful dream until I was beat up and left for dead. I was unconscious and left bleeding on the floor of a cold corridor when someone found me. And after the beating, I received several death threat notes. Someone even got into my dorm room and wrote in fake vampire's blood that it says, "You will die in your sleep tonight." Mm. And I did what I had always been taught, and I took the notes to the headmaster, and he said, "Of course, I'll help you. I'm going to take these to a handwriting expert at the police station to find out who is writing these." And I waited, and I waited with, you know, with fear each night before I went to bed. I was wondering, you know, is this the night I'm going to be killed in my sleep? And I felt like I was in a lot of danger. So, you know, 3 months had gone by, and I went to the headmaster's office to inquire about the notes, and I knocked on his door, and he opened it wide enough to only put his head out. And I said, "You know, Captain Nichols, it's been 3 months, and I was wondering if you've heard anything from the handwriting expert at the police station." And the headmaster became very, very agitated, and he yelled at me, you're never to ask me about this again, and I don't want to hear that you've talked about this to anyone. And he slammed the door in my face. And I stood there staring at the grain of the door, and I swore that I would never be a victim like this again. And I made a promise that someday I would become a handwriting expert, so I would have the skill to protect myself and help other victims of handwriting crimes. And this is what drives me in life. I want to save people from the suffering I had to endure, and no one should have to deal with death threat notes or have money, property, or business stolen from them by way of fraud or forgery.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing. Your experience is horrible, what happened, but what it led to you to is terrific. That's the silver lining, I guess. That's the way to look at it. What type of cases do you mostly handle?
Anything that has a signature writing, or if it includes a document, I examine that. But, you know, so far I've helped stop a sibling from stealing his mother's estate from his brothers and sisters. He handwrote a will that left everything to himself, so that was a little obvious. And I saved a man from being wrongly accused of a crime. The state police thought my client was the one who wrote a map detailing a break-in, when in fact it was actually another man. And they didn't believe it until they saw my exhibit charts, and then they decided, wow, I guess we had the wrong man. I helped to keep a woman and her children out of a homeless shelter before she was separated from her husband. She and her children lived in an extremely modest life. The husband made very little money to support the family because he owned a failing construction business. But during the separation, people talk, and my client found out that her estranged husband's construction business was worth several million dollars. And when she asked the courts for child support and alimony, her estranged husband said that his wife had signed a document agreeing that if they got a divorce, she would not file any claims asking for child support, and she would be denied of all claims to any of his bank accounts and business holdings. And after my examination, I was able to determine that she never signed the document. I also do work for corporations, and I've also prevented companies from losing millions of dollars by identifying that fraud and forgery were taking place at the hands of a trusted employee.
Mm. In this down economy, is there a certain trend you're starting to see in the kinds of forgery?
Oh, I noticed you used three downs, and yes, we're pretty far down. And currently, I have an overwhelming amount of cases that relate to elder financial fraud. And so many friends and or family members will help Granny while she is bedridden. You know, "Grandma, I'll help you write your checks so you can pay your bills." And, you know, everybody pitches in. And after a while, the person who seems to be the savior to Grandma is the same person was pilfering from grandma's checking account, cashing grandma's pension checks and not depositing them into granny's account, and forging grandma's signature on a power of attorney, giving them an easy entry to grandma's other assets like her property. And
wow.
So with this downturn economy, there has also been an increase in identity fraud concerning children, and they're young, and they have Social Security numbers too, and they most likely will not use them until they're 18 years old when they get their first job, or hopefully before that, right?
And, yeah, exactly.
During that time period, their Social Security number can be sold on the black market or on the Internet, and there have been situations where the child's parent has stolen their own child's Social Security number to establish a new line of credit because their own credit has been ruined with their home being foreclosed, with them not making payments on their credit cards. And so they need to find another way to get money, and they do this by taking their children's Social Security number and opening a new credit line.
That is a watch out there. I can see that happening, absolutely. Do you have any tips for the people that are listening who are probably now scared to death on how they can avoid becoming victims of forgery or fraud?
Well, you know, they should be scared. And actually, I can start them out with four tips. And it's just the beginning, but at least it's a great start on, you know, how to protect your family and your business. First, I would keep your blank checks, I know, you know, locked in a secure, safer drawer. And I know it's so easy to leave your checkbook on your desk or in the desk drawer, the top drawer, where you can easily get to it, but someone else can get to it just as easily, right?
Mm-hmm.
And second, I would check with your bank on a quarterly basis just to see if anyone has added themselves to your bank account. And three, I would update your signature card every few years, just because over time, as we get older, it may cause our signature to change, maybe due to health issues or to injuries, and you want that to be, you know, up to date with your bank signature card because they actually do check it.
How many? I bet a lot of people don't do that, though. I've never heard that. That makes sense, but I bet a lot of people didn't know to do that.
Oh, no, they don't. You know, and sometimes when they go to update that signature card, they will find out that someone else has added their name to the signature card, giving them access to the bank account. So that's another great reason to check, to have your signature card, you know, checked and changed every few years.
Yeah, no kidding, because, you know, who knows? You never heard of the person, but the bank doesn't know somehow they get in there, and then you're stuck. Wow. This was interesting stuff. Fascinating what you do. Just a terrific interview. Sina, thanks so much for sharing with us your story and things to watch out for here on America Tonight. We appreciate the time.
Oh, you're very welcome. And if I can be of any more help or if someone needs more information, they can go to my website at SinaWongForgeryExpert.com.
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey water filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
Bringing you the best in alternative talk radio for over 10 years. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
For world-class auto detailing, use what the pros use worldwide. Sparkle Auto. At SparkleAuto.com, the products and services we deliver are as good as it gets. And the knowledge behind them, even better. We always give you our absolute best, like our large 5-foot square chamois. It's Sparkle Auto's hottest selling item, voted by our customers as the most valuable chamois. This imported chamois is made of the highest quality microfiber artificial leather, so no scratching ever. It always remains soft, gentle, and pliable, no matter how much water it's soaks up. The Sparkle Auto chamois will not shrink or grow stiff with age or dryness. See it and buy it now for only $19.95 plus shipping at SparkleAuto.com. That's SparkleAuto.com or call toll-free 866-372-9559. Experience the best customer service and our 110% price guarantee at SparkleAuto.com. Call 866-372-9559 today for good value on top-of-the-line auto detailing products from SparkleAuto.com.
And now for another exciting minute from Life Change Tea. To all our Life Change Tea customers, it's sale time. Buy three, get one free. Buy three packages of Life Change Tea and get one package absolutely free. Now to all of you that have not tried Life Change Tea, here's your chance. Buy three, get one free. Clean toxins and chemicals inside your body. Lose inches off your waist and you could lose that excess weight that's been driving you crazy. And with our buy three get one free sale, it's a great time to order. So here's how. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Look for our special. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. It feels good to be clean, and it feels good to lose weight, and it really feels good to save money. So order now at GetTheTea.com.
Let's go! He walks merrily down the street with the people way down low.
It was just a few months ago here on America Tonight where we were talking about Faisal Shahzad trying to blow up part of Times Square. Here he had assimilated among us in Connecticut and was working as a financial advisor before. That, we had a middle-aged American woman from Pennsylvania that was dubbed Jihad Jane. She was using email, YouTube videos to recruit a network for suicide attacks and killings. And here we are getting ready to remember those we lost on 9/11 just 9 years ago. So just how safe are we from homegrown terrorists to those overseas in the Middle East and beyond? Former FBI agent, he was on the job, it seems like forever, I bet, to him, Bob Hamer, joins us to talk about the new type of terrorists and what's being done. Bob, thanks for joining us on America Tonight. How long were you an FBI agent?
26 years, Kate.
26, but that's not dog years, that's real years.
Those are real years, yeah. You know, when people start talking about it, it's like, golly, you're pretty old. You know, you've been there a long time. When they start talking a quarter of a century, that sounds like a long time. But the time did go quickly. I mean, the cases, they move from one case to another, and it just seems like you're constantly busy. So the time went relatively quickly for me.
Oh, you were an FBI agent on 9/11. Tell us what happened for you that day.
You know, it's interesting. On that day, I, as I said, I spent 26 years in the FBI. many of those years in an undercover capacity. I was the UC agent in about 20 administratively approved undercover operations. Some of those lasted a day, some more than 3 years. During 9/11 in September, we were targeting a travel agent who was catering to what they call boy lovers, men who were sexually attracted to boys, and he was putting together these overseas sex tours to Thailand. So that was the case that I was working on, but I was driving into the office. I was in Los Angeles, so we were talking, you know, earlier in the morning than what you experienced in New York. We heard on the FBI radio, it came across the radio about an emergency and ordered us to report to a top secret offsite. And we got there and we realized that 9/11 had occurred. We'd been briefed, and then we immediately went out and started covering leads. And I think it was probably maybe 2.5 days before I ever actually saw the footage of the planes attacking the World Trade Center, because we were working around the clock. I'm sure many of your listeners are aware that Los Angeles was on that immediate target list. Had they not shut down the flights that were going cross country, I mean, we had intelligence information that later developed that L.A. was one of the targets. So we had thousands of leads that we were covering in L.A., and it was a pretty hectic time.
After that, you become part of the Joint Terrorism Task Force. What was that like, making that transition?
You know, it's interesting. Most of the people that worked on the JTTF prior to 9/11, a lot of those agents were those that had sort of been brought up in this foreign counterintelligence culture. Sort of it was different than the criminal agents. I mean, we used to always refer to those guys that worked FCI as the Secret Squirrel Division, and we really didn't know too much about what they were doing. We obviously had agents that were doing some great work at the JTTF, but again, a lot of what they did went unheralded. There were very, very few of their cases made the headlines, at least prior to 9/11. After 9/11, many of us that had sort of been weaned on the traditional criminal investigations, drugs, weapons, bank robberies, kidnappings, organized crime, we were brought over to the task force. So we kind of brought, we sort of brought that criminal mindset to the JTTF. I tell you what I experienced there, what I really got out of it was how well all of these agencies interacted. I've often said that to me, the FBI reminded me so much of Little League Baseball. You know, it was the kids that got along. It was always the parents that were causing the problems. And we had some great investigators at the JTTF, both federal, state, local, military. I mean, there was guys that were intent on doing the job, and we did a lot of fine work.
You were one of the technical advisors for a series that I love that I tell listeners to watch all the time if they can get copies of it, called Sleeper Cell, and it was like a little mini series. It was either on Showtime or HBO, and I thought it was incredible. And I'd heard from other FBI and CIA friends I have that this was pretty right on the money. What do you say about that project? What do the sleeper cells do?
Yeah, you know what, I think that it hit pretty close to home, and a lot of what they did, it showed the way these cells were operating here in the United States, and some of what they were actually showing on TV, you know, we've come to see now is true. So they did a good job. They had some pretty dedicated writers there that researched what they were doing, and they just weren't trying to Hollywood up some situation. So yeah, that was a good series.
What do you think it is? Because you spent those years on the job, and then you were part of, as you said, the JTTF. What is it that investigators need moving into the future and dealing with how many possibilities you're dealing with? I can't even imagine. What do you think it is? What are the tools that would help some of the investigators out there?
Well, I think, you know, you're seeing situations. Obviously, the wiretaps are so important. You know, there are two types of wiretaps that I know you understand, and maybe your listeners do, but we have these that come under the FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and then they come under Title III of the Omnibus Crime Bills passed in 1968. So you have intelligence wiretaps, you have criminal wiretaps. And a lot of what we're seeing is so much of the information that is developed under the FISAs, under those Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act wiretaps, it takes less than the full probable cause that you need in a criminal wiretap. But that's where a lot of this intelligence has been developing. Now, because the JTTFs have now gone more into a criminal mode where they're actually trying to prosecute these terrorists, a lot of times they're relying on the wiretap authority and under Title III. So it's a little bit more difficult to do that. It's one of those things, Kate, that the most important thing you need in fighting crime and fighting terrorism, it's the boots on the ground. You've got to get those people in the community that one, are willing to cooperate with you and allow you to get in there to do your job. I saw this, I've been the contract killer, the residential burglar, the drug dealer, the degenerate gambler. You know, a lot of the investigations that when I went undercover, it was mainly because an informant introduced me, someone that was willing to take me in to the inner circle of the organization. Now, many cases, I didn't have that informant. In the NAMBLA case, the North American Man Boy Love Association, I had no informant that introduced me. When I worked the race fixing case at the track and was undercover for 6 months, I didn't have an informant that introduced me. So it took a lot longer to develop your bona fides to get in there to be accepted by the criminal element because you're there. But when you've got somebody that can introduce you, it sure makes it a lot easier. And that's what we need. You need the people that are inside that are right there. We used to joke, just because two Italians are having pizza doesn't make it an organized crime summit. But until you're in there, until you've got the microphone in the room, until you've got an undercover agent or an informant that's recording that conversation, you know, it really doesn't exist. So that's what we need. And what I'm seeing now, I just spent a couple hours with a guy who had been a captain in the Army. He had two tours over in Iraq. He talked about how they were developing their sources, dealing with neighborhood sources in the community. My son's a Marine captain. He spent his tour in Afghanistan working with the locals, trying to develop relationships with them so they can get the information that they need to do their job. And it's the same thing we have to do here. I had some great sources when I worked on the JTTF. I mean, Muslims, Middle Easterners, some were Christian, some were Muslim, but it allowed me to understand that mindset. It allowed me to think like they did and to figure out, okay, you have to think like them in order to figure out what they're going to do. And that's what these informants will do for you.
Yeah, so well said. What's the profile of these would-be terrorists, people that are flipped that are Americans, for example?
Well, it's interesting. I'm not sure. I mean, I think maybe you're asking two different questions here. One, the people that are the terrorists that are now cooperating, that, you know, were U.S. citizens that got caught up overseas and are now cooperating, and then those that are U.S. citizens that decide to become terrorists. I think in both cases you're seeing, certainly in terms of the U.S. citizens or the homegrown terrorists, it's these people that are vulnerable to radicalization, that are looking for some kind of identity. Certainly you saw this with Jihad Jane, the Colleen LaRose or the Jamie Ramirez, you know, these housewives who are sitting there and accessing a computer and going onto a hate-filled website and decide, oh, well, you know, I can be somebody if I get on the Internet and start chatting up with people in these chat rooms. Now, in terms of those that we've been able to get to cooperate, the people I dealt with, certainly in the Los Angeles area, just because they were Middle Eastern, just because they were Muslim, most of the people I dealt with loved America. They loved the opportunities, and they wanted to keep this nation as strong as it was. I mean, they came over here not to wreak havoc on society. They came over here because they were seeking the freedoms that the United States offered, and they were willing to risk their lives to help us. And certainly, I saw that both in an overt and a covert capacity, people that were willing to help us and to provide us information and many times at risk to their own lives and to the safety of their families because they were willing to cooperate with us.
Well, I'm glad you told us that. Hey, he's written a great book. It's called Enemies Among Us. Pick it up. It's in all the bookstores, any of the big ones, anywhere you can find it. Good stuff. Thanks so much for coming back on with us again, Bob. We appreciate it.
Kate, thanks for having me.
Walk, garden, or even button a shirt. Now restore normal function naturally and give yourself the freedom to move with Recovery Extra Strength. Over-the-counter drugs will stop the pain, but at the expense of your liver. Recovery Extra Strength is the number one solution for pain and inflammation. It contains Nutricol, a unique proprietary blend of green tea and grapes, and is made in Canada under strict Health Canada oversight of natural products. If you suffer from arthritis, bursitis, tendonitis, back, or other aches and pains, use Recovery Extra Strength. Call 866-543-3388 or go to RemarkableRecovery.com. Get free shipping on orders of $50 or more when you use checkout code GCN Radio. Call 1-866-543-3388 or go to RemarkableRecovery.com for Recovery Extra Strength for pain-free mobility.
So you got your emergency food, water, guns, and ammo, right? What about your paperwork? Your medical and insurance records, legal documents, emergency plans? Keeping and knowing where those vital papers are can really prepare you. That's why you need Prepared Binder, an emergency binder designed to keep all your important documents in one safe place. See Prepared Binder at PreparedBinder.com or call 480-284-1826. Prepared Binder, organized peace of mind.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, boating, towline, shipyard, or decoration. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive a free 100 feet of 550 paracord. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
You've got your gold, water filters, and storable food. Now for complete self-sufficiency, make your own fuel with Revenor.com. Don't laugh. A quality still from Revenor.com and our free book included with every still is all you need to beat the high cost of gas and stop dependence on foreign oil. Find out how easy it is to legally make your own alcohol fuel at R-E-V-E-N-O-O-R.com. Or call 503-662-4173. Revenor.com. Find quality alcohol stills.
Did somebody say stills?
That's how Grandpappy made his own sour mash, and you can too. Revenor stills can be used to make brandies, liquors, whiskey, vodka, and more, all perfectly legal with a permit. You should check into having your own Revenor still at Revenor.com. That's R-E-V-E-N-O-O-R.com. Or call 503-662-4173. 1 year warranty on all stills from Revenor.com. Fine quality alcohol stills.
Good stuff there. Talking about Bob Hamer, the former FBI agent, how he was able to get information, and you heard the tail end of that conversation. He was able to get the information because there were plenty of Muslim people who were willing to put their life on the line in Los Angeles, and they helped, they explained, they talked to him, they made it so that he could get the information that he needed. So when we say on this show, you can't completely stereotype, you gotta keep those things in mind. When you listen to some of the people we have on, we've had former CIA agents on, and we've had terrorist experts on, and the one thing they will all say, even Jeff Atticott, who is hardcore about how ridiculous so much of what's happening is and is so unnecessary, he would agree with what Bob Hamer said, that you know that there are people who are drinking in America, and yeah, some of them are Muslim folks. It's those people that need to stand up and shout from the rooftops, you know, forget it, to the extremist nutball branch who are waving the Quran and screaming Allah Akbar and killing people in the name of their religion. Speaking of that, topping odds and ends, the latest here is very strange. It's the latest story, and I got a text earlier in the day from somebody in Florida who's all over the story in Gainesville. the Florida pastor that we've been talking about, Jones, is saying now that he's going to suspend the Quran burning because he met with a Florida imam, and the pastor decided to cancel or at least suspend the book burning on Saturday and instead said that he was going to fly to New York City. Now, this is the other part of it. It's because he believes he has a deal to move the Ground Zero mosque from the planned location. But the guy who is behind the Ground Zero mosque / Islamic Center is saying, and that's Rauf, he's saying, there's no such deal. I don't know what you're talking about. That the pastor is misrepresenting whatever this deal is. And clearly, Terry Jones agreed to cancel what he was doing because he believed that he had another deal for them to move the project. There already is a mosque in Lower Manhattan, by the way, not too far from what's being proposed, but there are spots where it can be moved. We've already talked about that, right? So Jones told the Imam Muhammad Mursari, the one from Florida, that he wouldn't burn any of the Qurans because he believed he had this meeting, I guess, in the bag. And also, Jones said he wouldn't do it because he got a call from the Secretary of Defense and because other religious and political leaders, including the president, all came out against it. So he's saying now he'll cancel it. So clearly there's some miscommunication and misinformation that's floating around. So is he rethinking it, or is he canceling it, or does he feel like he was lied to? He feels like he was lied to because he thought he had a deal to move the Islamic Center, the Cordoba house, away from the place that it's supposed to be built in now. And, you know, I've said this a zillion times, and I'll say it again, and in fact, now information is coming out about it. Follow the money. Some of the backers are getting nervous, don't want to do it, especially the guy who owns the building. He's talking about getting rid of it, one of the buildings, because he would rather have the money anyway. So there's some strange things happening when it comes to the New York situation and also the situation in Gainesville. So is it temporarily canceled? Is suddenly it going to happen? Which is it? We'll see, because it's as the Quran burning turns. It's like a soap opera, and it's been going on all week long. And I don't think that I completely believe that it's going to be canceled if he feels like he was misled by the Muslim religious leader in Florida about the situation in New York. How about that? I'll tell you what, a whole lot of imams and a whole lot of other people are getting their 15 minutes of fame plus over this nightmare. And the thing that's so sad about all of it, more attention than any of the victims, the victim stories, the families moving forward, any of that has gotten, period, 9 years later. The focus is on the opposite instead of what happened there, how far we've come, all that sort of stuff, which is why we had Bob on, so that you could get a sense of some of what's being done and some of the cooperation that's going on across the nation, and that there are things we don't even know about, things that aren't being reported, things that even any of us in journalism can't pry out of connections at the Pentagon. All right, there's a couple of other things to hit on that made news that would make odds and ends, certainly. One of them is this, the fact that the NFL swung open the doors for business the regular season. The Saints beat the Vikings in Thursday night action 14-9. It also means that it's the start of Nail the Score for Us, our very first one. Always popular on America Tonight, so I hope you keep this number handy, 800-259-5791, or I know some of you are stuck at desk as you're winding down the evening. You could flip us an email at americatonight.net. Once the computer randomly picks the game of the week, you call in. You don't have to know jack about football, but you call in, you guess who you think's going to win, and you give us your numerical guess at whatever it is, 21 to 17, 21 to zip, 17 to 14, doesn't matter. And if you correctly nail the score, you clean out the prize closet. And get this, the first five people who call, just for calling, you get a copy. It's a coffee table book. It's really nice, actually, for the Cowboys' 50th anniversary. So if you're a Cowboys fan, you definitely want to get on those phone lines fast. And it's in our second segment. It's when it starts in the third hour. So the first five people will get that just for the call. It's all of the Cowboys' history, great pictures, all that sort of stuff. And if you hate, hate, hate the Cowboys, please don't burn the book. Because we really jump through hoops to get them. Pass it on to somebody else. How about that? That would work. Sad story here, and it makes odds and ends because it happened in this country over this another worker or situation where somebody comes in and decides to shoot people at a plant. This time, the police were able to catch the person, two dead and one wounded in this craft plant shooting. It happened in northeast Philadelphia. So one person's injured, and the woman who opened fire is in custody. That's the good news. It started at about 8:30 in the evening when Yvonne Hiller was suspended from her job. See, it always goes back to that job loss, suspension, firing, all that. She was suspended, and she was escorted from the plant, right? And about 10 minutes later, she came back, crashed her car into a fence outside of the plant, went into the building. She had a .357. She shot a coworker in the back of the head, killed her, went on to shoot another woman and a man. The woman also died while the man was rushed to a hospital in critical condition. He was shot in the chest, and he might have been shot in the neck, too. So everybody starts running for their life. They just clear out of the building. SWAT teams were able to get to her on the second floor, and this is the great part for once. The cowardly, ridiculous act. This time, she didn't take her own life. They got her in cuffs, got her out, and she's going to have to face justice on this one because now she's ruined who knows how many lives by doing this because she was let go. She was basically told, forget it. And this is how she reacted. She was suspended from her job. So, you know, there's another story to this, too. For whatever reason, for the suspension, I'm sure there's something a little bit more to it that hasn't been uncovered yet at this point. And quickly, too, Godspeed to those firefighters, not just the ones in Colorado, but in San Bruno, California. They're battling a gas line or gas-fueled fire that just swallowed in flames dozens of houses and sent shooting into the air, hundreds of feet into the air, all of these flames into the neighborhood in a place called San Bruno. Is awful. It's like a tinderbox just went up. All right, I'm going to leave you with this thought, and it's from Albert Einstein. There are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as if everything is. Think about it.